because I've had the chance to speak from here, and it has been quite the month. It's been quite a few months, actually. We're asking around earlier today, how you doing? And somebody's like, well, I've had a summer. It's been just it's been one of those. And, you know, today's talk has been bouncing around in my mind for a couple of months, my heart as well, and I want to talk about the topic of dealing with disappointment. And so if you're taking notes, I would encourage you to, because everyone experiences disappointment in life. Everyone experiences it, but I wonder if everyone deals with it in a healthy way. And so we're going to take a look at that tonight. And you might think that this was just written this week because of the stuff that we've been going through here with the loss of our friend. It is deeper than that. You might hear this tonight and think, oh, I know who he's talking to. I'm not talking to anybody but right here. And so tonight, my hope is that your hearts will be open to hear his voice as well. That as we go through different things in life, deal with different disappointments, that we would deal with it in a healthy way. And maybe tonight, this message will be a disappointment to you. I don't know, but we're going to see. So the definition of disappointment is this. It's a sadness or displeasure that's caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes or expectations. The sadness or displeasure caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes or expectations. You know, the Bible doesn't really mention the word disappointment very often. I think really only one time where it's specifically mentioned. And yet, we don't really need a specific Bible story to follow because everyone experiences disappointment, including all of our great heroes of Scripture. We see it, Moses disappointed. The people wouldn't follow him right away. And he had to spend 40 years in the desert before they finally would. Then he gets to the promised land, and you can imagine the disappointment when he realizes he gets to lead them right to the edge, but doesn't get to take a step in. Think about King David, and we'll look at him a little bit more later, but his disappointment in the way his treatment of Saul, and then Saul's return treatment to him, very, very different. You know, David losing his home, being burned to the ground in Ziklag, losing a child, and going through that disappointment. Incredible disappointment. The disciples, you know, we see them, they were disappointed. They thought Jesus was going to be this savior to save them from the Romans, and most of them would see that that didn't happen. They'd end up being executed by the Romans, many of them. And, you know, Paul, all of his letters to the early church kind of were written out of disappointments with how things were going. Like, how Galatians, what's wrong with you? Corinthians, what's wrong with you? How come you guys haven't got it together yet? And then even Paul, with his thorn in the flesh, praying, God, you know, take it away from me, and realizing, you know, that the disappointment of that prayer not being answered the way that he had hoped, and we'll look a little bit at that as well. To be honest tonight, I'm not an expert on this topic. I'm actually just continuing to work my way through it as well. And it has been tough. It has been tough. And so if Zach's on backup, if things don't go well, he's just going to come read the rest of my notes. So, you know, because we think about this tonight, there's different levels of disappointment, and there's different reasons for it. Different levels of disappointment, different reasons. Let's talk about levels first. You know, the different levels of disappointment, it's kind of like that thing in your brain. It's like, well, what I hoped would happen didn't, or what I hoped wouldn't happen did. And it's things like different levels, right? Like you went to the pantry this morning to get your favorite box of cereal, and it wasn't there. Your kids had eaten all of it. There's a level of disappointment there. It's not quite as you expected. The Leaf fans, every playoff time, we all share that same level of disappointment. I don't know why we just don't expect that it's going to go that way. We'd be much happier. You know, you didn't get the job or the promotion you wanted. You didn't get into university like you had hoped. You went to university and you couldn't get a job after. The disappointment, different levels. You know, that thing that plays in your mind where it's like, I saw this going very differently in my mind than what actually happened in my life. You know, you asked her to date you and she said no. That sounds terrible until you think about it could be worse if she had waited until you proposed. You know, or the high levels of loss, lost a friendship or lost a friend, great loss, great letdowns, you know, disappointments, massive disappointments. And maybe that's where you've been as well. And then there's different types of disappointments, different causes, you know, situations that happen in life. There's really just really like nobody in particular. There's like health issues that are end up being a disappointment, or there's financial issues, or maybe it's your garden. Like I went out and I grew 12 grapevines and I've lovingly cared for them for 3 years. And I look out there and I have three grapes, not three bundles, three grapes. I have four children. you know how this is going to go. What a disappointment, right? But it's just situations. There's nobody really at work in those things. But there are times where it's people in our lives. And this is what I find probably more common, is that we have people in our life that end up being a factor in the disappointments that we face. You know, sometimes it's people you know. Sometimes it's people you don't. You know, the people you know, the people you thought you could trust, maybe, you know, it's a spouse or close friend or whatever, and then they let you down, and you're just like, oh, I'm dealing now with this disappointment. And maybe it's people you don't even know. Like, maybe humanity's let you down. I had that experience this past couple of weeks. If someone, just saying, if you're going through a lot and then someone calls you and offers you brand new phones and a really killer phone plan, and it sounds too good to be true, it is. Scamming, getting scammed sucks. And you just thought, man, like, wasn't expecting that. Had hoped it would be better than that. And you still get the disappointment. You know, I think sometimes before we get too angry at everybody else around us that causes disappointment in our life, I think it's important that we take a look in the mirror and realize that sometimes we realize that even for us, we can sometimes be a disappointment. And feel that sense of disappointment, like we let ourselves down sometimes. It's like you look in the mirror and you're like, man, I was never going to do that again. I was never going to say that again. And it's like, man, how did that happen again? And these feelings of disappointment, even for your own self, can be in that place. Or maybe you thought, you know, I was going to be in a better place in my life by now, and I'm not there yet. Or you've tried so hard and you come up short, and it's like, oh, disappointment is looming. And maybe that person that you feel disappointment towards is the Lord. I feel like that seems like a puzzling thing to me when I hear people like, I'm disappointed in God, or God let me down. It just didn't go my way. And it puzzles me, but I realize it's a very real feeling. It's something, a very real thing that people go through. And maybe that's something that you've experienced and faced. And you're wondering, you're like, man, I do feel like he's let me down. And there's this disappointment connected to him. And we want to look at that tonight as well. What, you know, we said everyone experiences disappointment in their life. But how do we deal with it? What am I going to do with disappointment? And it matters what we do with it. Because here's the truth. Disappointment is just a doorway for a host of other emotions to come rushing in. And man, they come in hot. It's like those kids coming in after playing outside. They rush in and they just leave slew of shoes and whatever else and dirt. And they're heading straight for the fridge. And then they're leaving empty cans and ice all over the place. And it's like you're just sort of left with like, what just happened here? And disappointment happens in your life. And it's like it opens the door and then there's all of this trying to rush on in. A little anger, or a lot. Some grief, some disbelief, some doubt, some revenge, some bitterness, depression, just waiting to rush in through that opportunity called disappointment. A couple weeks ago, I had the chance to watch the Sights and Sounds production of The Life of David. If I hopefully had a chance to see it, it was just incredible. But they portrayed the realness of this great character of Scripture, the very realness of his humanity. The outer struggles he faced we're so aware of, but they just did such a good job of capturing the inner struggle that he would have wrestled with or could have wrestled with. This man after God's own heart had a heart that was just torn at times, and he faced many disappointments in his life, some because of his own choosing and others just because of things that happened in his life. And there's one of those disappointments we want to take a look at today. And that's in 1 Samuel chapter 30. So if you have your Bibles, we salute you. And if you have them, go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. It's a pretty famous portion of Scripture, especially when people talk about disappointment. But I want to touch on a different angle this evening. To catch us up to speed, David and his men had gone off to fight for the Philistines. They were being hired as mercenaries for the Philistines. And when they had got there, the other Philistine army said, we don't want these guys fighting with us because we're actually fighting against their own countrymen. And they might turn on us. So we're sending them all home. There is no better news to get when you're about to go into a battle where you could lose lives than to be sent home early where everybody wins. Everybody lives. Everybody simply gets to go home and celebrate with their wives and family. And so that's where David and his men, they're on their way home. They're pretty excited about the fact that they get to go and see their loved ones. As they cross the hill and they look down at their town, the place where they live called Ziklag, they see smoke. And they're like, sweet, the women are cooking. This is awesome. And then they get there and find out somebody else had cooked everything. houses all burned to the ground, their loved ones gone, and David and his men pretty upset. Here we look in 1 Samuel 30, verse 3. Then when David and his men saw the ruins and they realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. David's two wives, Ahinoam from Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel, were among those captured. David was now in great danger because all of his men became very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him. You know, we often focus on David in this story, but I just want to just leave the scripture up here for a bit. The yellow words describe everybody else. They describe everybody else who goes through the same thing as David did. Here they face great disappointment. They've all lost the same things in their life. They've all been let down by this experience. And for them, their disappointment leads them to what I would call dissing. They start dissing. And they're like, that phrase, I hope, sticks in your mind, because it's, as you look in the thesaurus, the other thing, not the dictionary, you look there and you see the synonyms of the word disappointment, and you get a whole lot of disses. You get dismay, disbelief, distress, discontent, displeasure, disillusion, dissatisfied, disgust. You think about that, it leads to other things like disdain, distraction, and distance, and the dissonance starts. And here's where they are. They're all in that spot. They're all facing the same disappointment, but it begins to ripple in their lives. They become very bitter. Didn't take them long. Why? Because it opens the door and it rushes in, and now bitterness is also there with disappointment. And not only just some bitterness, they don't deal with it properly, and they're ready to commit murder because of the disappointment they're facing. That's how hot the emotions can be. You think, well, that's not me. And I'd like to say the same thing. I'm not going to murder anybody because I'm like having a bad day. And then we read stuff like in the New Testament where Jesus says things about, if you hate your brother in your heart, it's just like murder. You're like, oh, okay. Yeah, the disappointment, yeah, that ripple. I can feel that ripple sometimes. But I should be angry. And Paul's like, yeah, you should. He wrote to the Ephesians, be angry, but don't sin in your anger. Be angry, but anger for the right things. Don't allow that to be one of those emotions that now causes even more damage, because the truth is this, the damage doesn't end with disappointment. It's just the opportunity for it to begin. And in our relationships, especially how we deal with disappointment matters. And so I don't know how many points I have. This one's just called Consider the Cause. Consider the cause of the disappointment. Sometimes I think that's a healthy way for us. We find ourselves in disappointment. It's like, okay, let me slow down for a minute. Before all those other things want to rush in and take me to who knows where, let me consider the cause. You know, the cause, the definition we said, was the non-fulfillment of one's hopes or expectations. So often we look at the displeasure or the unhappiness, the sadness, as like that's what we focus on because that's what we feel. But we don't often focus on the non-fulfillment part of the hopes and expectations, which is why we have this sadness on the inside. And I don't know if we often consider our own expectations in the role of our disappointments. I wanted to challenge us with that thought tonight. Have you considered, if it's possible, that the person who let you down, the person who you think has caused the disappointment in your life, was it really them or was it an expectation you had of them? You thought they were going to do this, but that's not who they really were. That's not who they really are. That's not what they were even able to do. The Ziklag boys, when they get there, who do they want to stone? They want to stone their friend. It wasn't him who took all the stuff from them. It had nothing to do with that. Their expectation was, if we're with David, we're never going to have disappointment. And there it is. Boom. You know, we actually teach this principle in our marriage classes, our pre-marriage classes. And if you're already married, it still works. But we say this to pre-married couples before they get married, because that's when they're in love and that's when they're willing to do stuff, you know, to further their marriages. You know, it's, we tell them, we say, listen, you know, you're going to get married and you already have expectations of that other person. It's really, really important to understand a few things. Unspoken expectations are usually unmet expectations. If they don't know, I remember Beth and myself fighting back in the day, you know, and she'd be mad at me. I know she's mad at me. I have no idea why she's mad at me. I'm just like, okay, I'll go to my room, think about it for a while. And then I look out. No, she's still mad at me. And I'm just like, what did I do wrong, right? And she's like, well, I was just like expecting you would understand. You would figure it out. I'm like, I don't know what I did. Back to your room, right? No, it's, she was really kind about it. But it's that expectation. Well, they're going to know. Or they're going to do or whatever. And it's like, they didn't know. And so we say unspoken expectations. The truth is they never knew. They disappointed you, but they never knew. And the second is unrealistic expectations, because we all have those. You know, it's not that they never knew. It was that they never could. You would tell them, but there was never a possibility, right? You know, I found this with people who struggled with addictions, and their spouse would be like, okay, I'll forgive you, but it better never happen again. And then the husband's like, okay, it'll never happen again. It's a completely unrealistic expectation, especially when you're in a journey of recovery. And it was this thing of, well, that expectation, and the next time they messed up, boom! It was like, yeah, see? You let me down. You disappointed me. But it was an unrealistic expectation, something that they never could. You know, we're thinking, well, they're going to be there for me all the time. My best buddy, he's going to be there for me all the time. If I'm moving, we're moving. He has a truck. Of course, that's all he wants to do is help me move every time I move. Guess who's not going to have that friend very long? And you're like, disappointed me. An expectation that they never could. And the third is an unwise expectation, an expectation that they never should. Unspoken, they never knew. Unrealistic, they never could. Unwise, they never should. They never should be the one to fulfill that. You know, people talking about how they want their spouse to be the one who makes them happy. They should never be that person to fulfill that. My kids, you know, they're the ones who are going to make me happy. No, that's not why you had kids. They're not there to make you happy. Pretty much the opposite, right? They're there to take away all your selfishness, and it's good for you. It's good for you. You know, the unwise expectations of looking to people rather than looking to Christ. And that happens in our lives a lot. We will look to a person rather than to Christ. And some, you know, those are unwise expectations. And those expectations lead to disappointment. I think it's important that we understand that. You know, we sometimes put expectations on people that lead to disappointment to us. And then we blame them for it. And it's something that, man, I find myself doing it. And it's realizing it. Okay, these disappointments, I deal with them in a different way. And I see that not just with people, because sometimes we'll put expectations on God, and then we're disappointed that he didn't come through, and then we'll blame him for it. And he's like, I never said I was going to do that. You know, we began reading Proverbs this week, and we said, as we were reading it, there's this little devotional that explained at the beginning, saying, you know, Proverbs are meant to be read as probabilities, not as promises. And how many of a parent has read the verse, train up your child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he's not going to depart from it. Like, I'm claiming that promise. And the Lord's like, that's not a promise. That's not a promise. And some of you are like, you just got devastated right now. He never claimed that. He never said that's a promise you can hold on to. There's Proverbs that say good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. And there's some people who did some good planning and they've worked really hard and they're broke. Why? Because it's not a promise. It's a probability, but not always. Long life is the reward of the righteous, not always. Never forget what I taught you, and you will live many years, not always. And it's like, God, what happened? Man, he's righteous. He's supposed to have a long life. What happened? I prayed, God, and God didn't. I claimed scripture, and God didn't. And they make up their own scriptures then. It's like, God helps those who help themselves, or, you know, God just wants me to be happy. He doesn't keep those promises either, because they're not his promises. You know, Numbers 23 tells us the truth. God's not a man that he would lie. We know that he keeps his promises. We also know that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There is no darkness in him. There's no lie in him. So we know if the promise isn't kept, it's not him. Could it be our expectation of him that we've created an expectation that he's not going to fulfill? He never promised to. And it's our expectation of him that's let us down. And too often, it's our expectation that's kept us at a distance from him. And it's the exact opposite of what we should be doing. You know, I think about Job when Job asked God, well, God, why is there so much suffering in life? Why am I suffering? And in the end, he gets his answer, but it's not what he thinks. The answer is, hey, Job, try and be in my shoes for a day. Do you know how everything in this world works? There is no perfect justice in an unjust world. There's no perfect justice in a broken world. There are going to be lots of letdowns, Job. That's what it's going to be, and we aren't going to understand that there's going to be lots of disappointments because the world's broken. The question tonight is, have we considered the brokenness may also be the cause of the disappointments in our life, that we just simply live in a broken world and life will not always go as smoothly as possible, and we should not expect it to go smoothly. See the point we just made. Our expectation of it going smoothly should not be our expectation. We should not expect it to. A broken world filled with broken people and broken promises and broken lives and lots of hurting people that in turn are hurting other people, disappointed people, disappointing other people. It's like, man, we should be expecting that. And when it's expected, it's like, okay, I can deal with that different. The door doesn't open wide and everything else comes in and damage caused like crazy. You know, in fact, the scriptures promise that you're like, is he ever going to get to the Bible? Here we go. I want you to jot down a few of these to read them later. We'll put them up maybe on the screen. I don't know if we'll put them up on the screen. You might want to jot them down. We'll put them later. James chapter 1, verse 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way. When troubles of any kind. Troubles, man, disappointments are part of those troubles. When they come your way, they're coming. Consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Man, we read this and we're like, yeah, it's nice to read that when I'm not going through stuff. When we need it is when we are going through stuff. John 16:33, John writes about Jesus. He said, I told you all of this so that you'll have peace in me. Because here on earth, you're going to have many trials and sorrows. Man, as long as you're on this broken planet, you are going to have some brokenness. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. He doesn't leave us in that brokenness. He doesn't leave us there. You know, scripture tells us to expect there will be disappointment in the world, period. And you're like, well, that doesn't make me feel good. It's not supposed to. It's supposed to make us aware simply of the fact that it's coming or we're in it and there is a way out. Jesus said, man, I've overcome the world. And so as we just look at the final thought tonight of what are we going to do with dealing with disappointment, scripture gives us great thoughts on dealing with disappointment. And I want to take one more look at that story of David, 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. We finished that verse. I just want to read the last part of it. It says, David was now in great danger because all of his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters. They began to talk of stoning him. So we see the damage. It says this, but David, in the very same place, in the very same disappointment as these men, found strength in the Lord his God. It even says that in other versions, he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And it's simply this. That we might consider, you know, the brokenness. We might consider our expectations. But our third consideration, which should be our first, is consider the Lord. To consider the Lord in the times of disappointment. To consider the Lord. To just say, Lord, the feelings are here and I know them. The emotions are strong and I sense them. But Lord, help me to get my eyes on you. I want to leave you with four quick thoughts. Number one is trust. When you're dealing with disappointment, number one thing is simply trust. David was like, Lord, everything's going wrong, but I'm going to draw near to you in my disappointment. And it wasn't just in this time of Ziklag. You know, the one that really struck out to me was in 2 Samuel 12. David has a child that's really, really ill, just born, and this child's dying. And David fasts, and he prays, and he sleeps on the ground, and he is like, Lord, I'm begging you for the life of my child. And on day 7, his child dies. And David's response is incredible. In 2 Samuel 12, verse 20, it says this, then David got up from the ground, washed himself, put on lotion, changed his clothes. He went to the tabernacle, and he worshiped the Lord. And after that, he returned to the palace and was served food, and he ate. And his people around him thought, this is so strange. David, you know, while the child was still alive, you're like, you know, you're not eating. You're going through all this stuff. He says, you're in this spot. And then all of a sudden it's this. He says, yeah. He says, you know what? At that point, he's like, I was praying that there would be some sort of miracle. But now he said, I trust the Lord and I'm going to worship him for who he is, whether I feel like it or not. He didn't allow the doorway of disappointment to allow the rest of the disses to come in. He's like, I'm not going to distance myself from the Lord in this. And I loved what Zach said at the celebration of life the other day. Situations like this, disappointment, it's either going to push you or drive you away from the Lord, or it's going to drive you to him, and you decide. Man, disappointment, when it comes in your life, it's either going to drive you away from the Lord or it's going to drive you to him, and you decide. You decide. The Sons of Korah wrote a song about it. Songs stick in the brain. It's probably why they did it. It was a reminder in the decision of disappointment. Psalm 42, verse 3 to 5. I know we're not taking time to flip to all these. That's why I write them down. Go read them later. Day and night, it says, listen to this song. Day and night, I have only tears for food. Well, my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? You know, and when he hears that, he's like begins to believe, where is this God of mine? My heart's breaking because I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers. I led a great procession to the house of God. I was singing for joy and giving thanks amidst the sound of a great celebration. I was like, I was in church and it was great. We were worshiping the Lord. I was happy. I remember that. This isn't that. And then in verse 5, he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I see disappointment coming in, and he stops himself. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will put my hope in him. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. What's he doing? He's like, I choose to put my hope in the only one whose hope will not disappoint. See, disappointment is when hope is unfulfilled or unmet, when expectations are unfulfilled or unmet. And he said, you got to put them in the only one who will not let you down. Who will not let you down. Romans chapter 5, Paul writes it this way, we can rejoice too. It sounds like James. He says, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character. Character strengthens our confidence. What hope? Our hope of salvation. This hope will not lead to disappointment. It is the only hope that doesn't. He says, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. This expectation, this hope will not end in disappointment. He alone approaches us in perfect love. No one else is going to be able to do that, but he alone will. And the other thing is, he alone has a timeless approach and timeless understanding to the work of the world and our place in it. You know, we catch glimpses of it sometimes, but he sees eternity. Like, we catch glimpses of a disappointment. Maybe you can think of it. You've gone through a disappointment in life, and then a few years later, you look back and go, man, if I hadn't gone through that, I wouldn't be where I am today. Some of you are married to somebody different because of a disappointment. You look back, and you're like, yeah, you're right. If that disappointment had gone that way, man, I wouldn't be where I am today. And we see the glimpses, but he sees the whole span of eternity. And he sees us in our disappointment, and he knows. And the truth is, we can trust him. And we're encouraged too. You know, in Proverbs, not a promise, but an encouragement. Trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he'll show you which path to take. It's that path to take is the life you live. Seek him in all of it, especially in the times of brokenness and disappointment. First one, trust in him. The last three are quick. The second one is this, because when it comes to our relationships, forgiveness is the second thing. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the healing balms to shut the door on disappointment. Because if it's people that have disappointed you, the quickest way forward for you is to forgive. And Gary did a great talk on this just over a month ago. If this is like triggering your heart, go look that up and listen to it. And to be honest, we don't actually need a full explanation tonight of what forgiveness is. We're like, okay, if you would just explain it to me, we know what it is. It's just like, okay, am I going to do it? Am I going to do it? Am I going to, you know, forgive a person? They've disappointed me, but I'm gonna let them off the hook. I'm not going to add expectation to them to make it right beforehand. I'm simply going to forgive them because I've been forgiven. That's why. I'm not going to allow disappointment to derail me in my pursuit of Christ. Trust, forgiveness, gratitude is a third. It's, man, we find it easy to have gratitude when things are going well, but gratitude is a powerful attitude in the times of disappointment. You know, it's Paul encourages and models gratitude in his letters to the early churches. You know, in Thessalonians, he writes to them, he's just written to them, it's all this encouragement because they're going through tough, tough times. And he says this, 1 Thessalonians 5, be thankful in all circumstances, not for them. Nobody's thankful for the disappointment, but in it, be thankful in that circumstance, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And Paul would say to himself, to the Philippians, you know, he said in verse 12 of chapter 4, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. That famous verse is, I can do everything through Christ who gives me the strength. man, I can live for him in the times that are great, and I can live for him in the times of where it's lower than low, where the disappointment feels like it's right there, where prison cells, whatever it is, man, I've learned that I can do it through Christ who strengthens me. And finally, Paul tells the Corinthians about a disappointing answer to his prayers. You know, he was there too. You think Apostle Paul had you know, every prayer answered? No. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8, he's like, three different times I begged the Lord to take away this thorn in my flesh. We don't know what it was, but he didn't want it. Three times I begged the Lord to take it away, and each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. He says, so now I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Why? Because the power was not of him, it was of Christ. His prayer probably sounds like, I trust you to carry me through. I trust you to carry me through. So trust, forgiveness, gratitude, and finally praise. Praise. Simply setting our eyes on him. Setting our eyes on him, on his goodness in the time of badness and sadness, his strength in the time of weakness, his faithfulness in times of instability, his love in times of coldness. You know, David, after losing a child, in that part of disappointment, where does he go? Man, I'm going to go worship the Lord. Job, after losing everything, I'm going to go worship the Lord. Paul and Silas, sitting in prison, I'm not going anywhere, so I'm going to worship the Lord. What is it? Eyes on him. Eyes on him. And tonight, we have the chance to have a reminder to set our eyes on him as we celebrate communion together. So I'm just going to ask our ushers if they can get the emblems for that. We're going to take a minute just in a second here to just allow us some time to consider, you know, where we're at with him. That reminder of where our lives are and what he's done for us. If it's forgiveness for you, man, remember this cross was a payment for your forgiveness. And so maybe it's just time for us to let some things go. Maybe you're like, you know, that's not it. It's gratitude. I've kind of forgotten how much he loved me, how much he cares for me, how much he's done for me. I love that song, Praise. I'll praise him when I feel it. I'll praise him when I don't. Why? Because he's just worthy of praise. And maybe tonight it's simply like, Lord, I've done life all on my own ways, all my own plans. But tonight, trusting you, I'm going to put my hope in you. And so we're going to take the emblems of communion tonight. I'm just going to ask Zach then to lead us through.
You know, as I said from the beginning, once you have a close friend and a believer step into eternity so recently, these lyrics, these scriptures, they just hit differently. And surely it is the same with communion. You know, as we all will one day spend our last day here, many of us may be laying in a bed thinking what's next. It's because of this that we have much hope. It's because of what Jesus has done that we can face eternity with confidence. And so as Jesus, on the night before he was betrayed and crucified, he broke bread with his disciples. And he said, when you do this in remembrance of me. Everything that's going to take place tomorrow has eternal significance. And for us believers, we remember the importance. We remember the individual bond this makes with us and our Savior. And so I invite you that as we partake in this, be reminded that Jesus surely is the Lamb who was slain for the sin of the world. He said, do this in remembrance of me every time you get together. So let's partake together. And in the same way, he took a cup and he said, this cup represents the new covenant of my blood. That represents forgiveness for us. That represents his grace every day. Every mess up we have is covered, and it allows us to walk free and confident with him, and it allows us to be under that covenant for now and all eternity. He said, do this in remembrance of me. because, man, it is so important for eternity in our day-to-day life. Let's partake. Father, it is so true that naked we come into this world and naked we return. We don't take anything with us, God, and the only thing we can acquire here is a relationship with you that is lasting into eternity. Jesus, thank you so much for what you have done. The Bible says that you thought of each of us, Father. You saw eternity in the big picture. You knew our name, and you loved us, God. And you died for us, Father. Thank you so much for the gift of knowing you, not just to be eternally secure, but to help us in these day-to-day struggles, trials, that we are not alone, and that you are our helper and our comforter along the way. And we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.